Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning we welcome as our guest Michael Schumacher. He is the author of a book called The Trial of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It is a companion to his narrative Mighty Fitz, The Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Michael, good morning and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here for...
Or where, or there.
Touch with you anyway, yeah. I'm calling from Wisconsin. I got up this morning complaining because it was 21. You know, I love Duluth. I absolutely love Duluth. I could not live there because it's just too cold.
It has...
I have a hard enough time living here in Wisconsin.
It has its challenges. That is very true.
It does. It's a delightful city. I've been there, I don't know how many times. I've spoken there. I've been in conferences and so forth. I love that city. I really do. And we've joked about it in the past because I have a friend that's the same way. Loves the city, doesn't really care much for the weather in the winter months, you know. What are you going to do?
Live here part-time? I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be a nice summer home place, yes.
Michael, let's talk a little bit about this companion book. How does this one in its approach differ from your first book about
Mighty Fitz?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the book was almost an accident. It was an accident. Let's put it that way. I was putting some papers together or filing them, you know, and I came across one of these big banana boxes like they give you in the supermarkets or they ship bananas into the supermarkets, and it just said Fitz on the box. Well, I thought I put all that material away. And I opened it up to see what it was. And what it was the complete Coast Guard testimony, following, their investigation, following the loss of the Fitzgerald. And I just grabbed the top. I remember getting all that testimony. I stood for 2 days at a photocopying machine in Washington, D.C., copying all this testimony. I started reading, and as fate has it, it was Bernie...
Bernie Cooper.
Sanders.
Yeah.
I'm so used to whenever you say Bernie, it's followed by that last name.
Exactly.
But Cooper had been in the boat right behind the Fitzgerald, and his testimony was absolutely riveting. There's a couple hundred pages of testimony where he's recreating, you know, that whole storm and the Fitz and the trouble that Fitz was in. And I'm reading it, I'm going, boy, this is good stuff. I said, you know what's a shame is that nobody's ever going to see it. It's in a vault out at the Coast Guard headquarters in Washington, D.C. And I just kind of let it go at that, you know. And like a month or so later, I was talking to my editor. I said, you know, the funny thing just happened. And I explained to him. And he goes, that sounds kind of interesting. And so how this book, this is a kind of a winded way of explaining, describing it, but what happened was I wanted to do in this book what I didn't do in Mighty Fitz. In other words, Mighty Fitz did not have a single photograph, not one, and that was by design. I wanted the story to carry it, and it had a couple of paintings in the cover, that's it. And so this book now, Trial of Edmund Fitzgerald, is loaded with pictures, absolutely loaded. It also has the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald's last trip, as told by all the people who were out on the water that night, all the people that were aware of it, the people that went to look for the Fitzgerald when they knew it was sunk, the efforts to find it, and it being both the boat and survivors, although there was never much chance for survivors in that kind of weather. But and then the reports. I refer to them in Mighty Fitz. I even quote from them from time to time, but, you know, where you really get big chunks of the conversation, say, you know, and Bernie Cooper was describing that fateful last conversation where they were in touch with the Fitz just literally moments before it sank. And it's, how are you doing with your problem? And the last words ever heard from anybody on the Fitzgerald were, we're holding our own. You know, and so I put together a book that you could, it's a standalone book. In other words, you could buy this book and you'd, You'd have the Fitzgerald story. You'd have all this stuff, you know, photos, which I was taking the task for that, and not putting photos in the first book, but there were a lot of them floating around out there at that point. I got some really good ones for this, and so, you know, we and photos even of the types of craft that were out there on the lake and the ones that were looking for the fits and so forth. So that's essentially how it happened. It's kind of a crazy little story, but it's how it happened.
Michael, I'm curious. One of the things that we do think about up here in our little mm-hmm. corner of the world is that there are a lot of the family survivors who are still living. It, you know, in a sense,
yes.
It really didn't happen that long ago. And did you enlist their cooperation with this project? Did you?
For Mighty Fitz, I did. Mighty Fitz, I interviewed a number of the families. This, I wanted to be essentially contained in that Coast Guard. That's why they said trial of Edmund Fitzgerald. That wasn't my original title for the book, but that's what they liked, and so that's what they got. I wanted, you know, a different kind of story, a story that wouldn't be told. And like I said, if you saw that deposit that they have on the Fitzgerald, the Coast Guard headquarters, I remember kind of a funny conversation that I had with their historian. They have a Coast Guard historian that works there at the headquarters. And when I first talked to them or called them about coming out to look at the vault of material they have, one of the questions I had was, now, what is your policy about photocopying? And they're very polite, as you know. Well, sir, you can copy anything you want. I says, great. Now, my next question is how much do you charge? Because I'm used to working with universities and stuff where they charge you 25, 30 cents a page. And I know this is thousands of pages now. It's going to be kind of pricey. And he says, well, sir, it's free. You can have anything you want, free. And I stopped for a second. I said, well, maybe you don't quite understand what I'm talking about here. I want to photocopy your entire vault. Now it was his turn to pause. And he says to me, well, sir, maybe if you brought your own paper. So I get off the airport or off the plane at Reagan out there in Washington, D.C., and I've got a dolly full of paper, you know, that I used to photocopy everything. And so it was kind of that kind of odd experience going back over this material that I was familiar with. I certainly had used a lot of it for background when I was working on Mighty Fitz. Now you're going to see something that would have otherwise never been seen. And that to me was kind of important. That vault, because they were interviewing people literally days after the Fitz went down. They had the hearings called and they were talking to witnesses and so forth. So this was really fresh. I mean, when these people talked about a storm, they remembered they were out in it, you know. And so, or looking for the Fitzgerald, the horrible feeling they had, first of all, being sent back out on the lake. Ernie Cooper just barely made it in to safety. And the Coast Guard and the Sioux is calling him and saying, can you go back out there? And he's like, you know what I'm going to have to ask my men to do here? You know what we've just been through? And they did. They went out, as did the William Clay Ford, which is another boat that was anchored very peacefully down in Whitefish Bay. Well, not anymore. They're going out. And so it adds a whole different element to the story when you hear it from the people that were there.
Were you concerned at all, like you say, this would never have been seen? It was basically, you know, an eyewitness account of just of everything that had gone on.
Yes.
It sounds like minute
yes.
by minute. Were you concerned, having talked with the families previously, that this was going to be something painful for them, that this was going to be perhaps,
you know,
really hard for them to read?
You know what would happen? It's very, very weird. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here. With that particular shipwreck, there's a whole ownership issue on that that's hard to describe way. In other words, the families fight amongst themselves all the time about the Fitzgerald and about looking, you know, for more evidence and making it a gravesite, which it is now. You can't even take pictures of it now. There was terrible bitterness over this. There were certain people out there that wanted to be the explorers of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and they would fight between themselves and to absolute unbelievable extents. And I got a little tired of it, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to do a book here that's fair to the 29 men who lost their lives on this boat. And I did want to be fair to their families. That's a terrible loss. You know, whenever you do these shipwreck books, and I've done five of them now, one of the problems is I don't care how long the time has passed. If a loved one is still alive, it's still very fresh. You know, I've had people I've interviewed just break down in the middle of an interview. You know, these were loved ones. You know, and so you want to be respectful of these people. And yes, I did not want to drag up anything that they don't want to deal with. But frankly, they're dealing with it all the time. There's another anniversary coming up here, you know, next year, you know, like those every 5-year type anniversaries. And I'm sure we'll be hearing plenty of them. You know, it was weird because you just aren't quite ready for that, the fighting I'm talking about. If you talk to one person, you couldn't talk to the other one because he wouldn't talk to you anyway, that type of thing. And I found that a little bit jolting, to be honest with you.
It sounds like it was a fascinating project and all kinds of layers to the project. Michael, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us about it this morning. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome so much. And thank you. I appreciate your interest.
Michael Schumacher is the author of a book called The Trial of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's a documentary account and a companion to his narrative, Mighty Fitz, The Sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.